Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're going to talk a little about Appleton next. Appleton is the sixth largest city in our state. We're going to learn a bit more about the history of this. I think it's a charming town, Wisconsin City. With our guest in the studio with me, Holly DeReuter is a history producer for PBS Wisconsin. Her work, she's done Old Fashioned, the story of Wisconsin Supper Club, which was a lot of fun, and also the Wisconsin Hometown series. And I'm looking forward to talking with her. I've had a chance to view the work that she put together, the documentary that she put together. It's fabulous. I learned a lot, and you will too when you get a chance to look at it. Maybe you live in Appleton right now. Tell us what you know about your hometown's history or comments about the city. Number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email to ideas@wpr.org. Holly, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
It was so interesting for me to listen to, or watch, your documentary. And this one is a part of a series that you've done. What are the other ones that you've done?
Oh, wow. I think there's 12 other cities we've done. Stevens Point, Eau Claire, was Wausau, Menasha. We get around the state for sure. And that's the purpose of this series, is to explore the different histories of different communities around the state.
Well, it's fascinating to me because I've visited all those, you know, and many of us have. I was thinking about Appleton, and my daughter, Emily, played in a high school band, Lakeside Lutheran High School Band, and every Memorial Day, they would march in the Appleton Memorial Day Parade. So I would go up to the... maybe overnight, go up the night before and stay at the Paper Valley Hotel, or I'd get up really early and go down to get my spot to watch. And it was near, it was on Campus Drive, or College Drive, I think.
Yeah, College Avenue.
College Avenue, that's it. And I would always go to the end, of the parade, because then I could see my daughter right away and talk to her. But it was almost right next to Lawrence University.
Yeah.
And I thought so much about Lawrence. I would sit and wonder about Lawrence University while I was waiting for my daughter to get there. And we learn a lot about Lawrence University in your documentary, including the fact that it was sort of the set up to be so that a city would develop around it.
Exactly. The college was there before Appleton was even there. So it really was the founding establishment that Appleton grew up around. And they knew the people, that the investors from the east that started that college, they saw the potential in that area with the river. It's all about the river. There was great water power there that they saw, and they knew people were going to come there. And the college was just, you know, an extra bonus, because that really drew people to the area too.
Yeah, that was fascinating to me that it came first. You look at a place like that, you think, okay, well, that must have happened, you know, over time. But instead, this essentially a millionaire, I guess, he had about 5,000 acres around there.
Yes, a rich man who came from money on the East Coast, textile, a lot of money made in the textiles on the East Coast in the Boston area. And when they, you know, territories were being made states as the country acquired land and moved west, they saw the potential in industry. They also saw potential to do good and to create universities. They wanted people to be educated. They wanted people in the communities to be supported. So They saw that's what Lawrence's mission was. It was founded with the Methodist Church. Back then, every university was connected to a religious organization. So they wanted to be out there in the pretty much the frontier at the time, ready to educate the people that would be following.
You know, we should take even a step back because your documentary opens with the much earlier history of Appleton, which, of course, involved our First Nations.
Oh, yes, for sure. I'm actually from Northeast Wisconsin, and I had no idea why the Fox River was called the Fox River. And when working on this program, I learned about the Meskwaki Nation that were here in Wisconsin and were eventually pushed out. They're currently in Iowa. And the French called them Renard. So the river became known as Renard River because the Meskwaki were down there controlling the trade, charging tolls on the river.
It was an interesting thing, and then people kind of got sick of the tolls. And
oh, yes. You know, like anything, the French saw the Meskwaki as being in the way of them making more money. So there was a genocide put against the Meskwaki people, and they were pushed out of Wisconsin. That's where you have, like, the Fox Wars, where they were forced to move around and ended up in Iowa.
You know, as I'm thinking about your documentary, it involves, so you get that early history, you have interviews with people who, I mean, there's a lot going on in the documentary, which is great. When you're starting something like, where do you even begin?
That's a really good question, because as the producer, I have to get to know the whole history of Appleton. And like you were saying, before people of white European descent came in, you know, we have the native history, we have the geography of the area. How did that area get developed? How did the river form? And then all through the city's development and the history, and not just industry, but people and neighborhoods. And it's overwhelming at first. And that's one of the biggest challenges with working on a program like this, is we really have to whittle it down to what stories do we have the archive for that people would find interesting and that really represent and show Appleton's history.
Yeah, it's really, really something. And how do you connect with, or how did you connect with the local folks?
Oh, without the local community, there's no way we could not make this show. So we go in ahead of time and we start reaching out to, you know, historical societies. Appleton has a lot of great museums, so we reach out to those people and you just start talking to people, a lot of talking to people and hearing what they have to say, who they know, who they recommend we check out and talk to. So it's a lot of support and knowledge gathering from local experts.
Yeah, I've spent a little bit of time at the castle, which is one of the, I guess you'd say, museum?
Yeah, it's a history museum at the castle. They call it that because it's an old Mason lodge, which has a castle appearance on the outside. It's amazing. So you have the museum there, and then the Outagamie County Historical Society, their collection is also housed there. So that is something that's very prominent and Appleton. And you also have other great organizations like the Appleton Historical Society, and the Hearthstone Historic House Museum is great. And that's, we talk about that in the program. So many amazing museums and places to discover in Appleton.
And some nice people, too. I mean, I can remember dealing, talking with the docents at the castle who were, knew what they were talking about and were friendly and really made for a fun experience.
Oh, for sure. And those are the exact same people in the community tied to these organizations that we really depend on for interviews, for insight into research, and for us to kind of get a better understanding of what Appleton's story is.
And we're going to dig into the story of Appleton with our guest, Holly DeReuter, a history producer for PBS Wisconsin, and produced the documentary about the history of Appleton. There's a lot there, and you're going to be, I think, a little surprised at some of the things that you will be viewing when you watch that documentary. We will take a quick look now at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network, and then we'll be back with Holly. An Appleton native, are you? Or interested in the city? Give a call at 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Thanks so much for joining us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about the latest installment of PBS's Wisconsin Hometown Stories with a look at the new documentary, which is as part of that series. They selected Appleton. One of the theys was Holly DeReuter. She's the PBS history producer, and she's our guest right now. She's also produced Old Fashioned, the story of the Wisconsin Supper Club, and other Wisconsin hometown stories. I really like the story she did on Stevens Point, for example. And I really enjoyed the Appleton story as well. I learned a lot about it. What are your memories of Appleton? Has your family been there for decades? Maybe not. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Holly, there were, actually, you think about it, there's some pretty famous people who hail from Appleton.
Yeah. You have Harry Houdini, Edna Ferber, very famous American author, and of course, McCarthy, very well-known individuals that when we started working on this program, everybody assumed like, oh, you're going to talk about Houdini and McCarthy. But when we look at this program, we really look for stories that keep us in Appleton. This is a program about Appleton. So some people may be surprised that we actually do not talk about those three individuals in the piece.
Yeah, but what you do talk about is really, really interesting. It was Amos Lawrence, I think, who started at Lawrence University. And that was his, just to review quickly, that was the reason he started it was he wanted to get a town there.
Yeah. So he was a big business guy on the East Coast, also a big philanthropist. Education seemed to be one of the things that was important to him. And when he was looking to the U.S. and as it was expanding west, he saw the need and thought it was important that there was educational opportunities for people. And especially First Nations people, too. There was a lot of people from the Oneida Nation that attended Lawrence.
And, you know, there's what I liked about the story about Lawrence University was its capacity, its entrenchment, the wrong word, with the community itself.
Oh, yeah.
And the community in Lawrence are just in this intricate web.
For sure. Physically, if you go downtown, Appleton's quote-unquote main street is College Avenue. And that goes, you know, from the college into the city. And then also in the program, we talk about the Memorial Chapel that's on the campus's property. And that was a really good example of showing how the community came and helped the college with a chapel when they needed it and with raising money and stuff. And they're two peas in a pod for sure.
Stuart in Appleton, we'll give you a chance to join in. Stuart, hi.
Hi, Larry. Always enjoy hearing your show, especially when it addresses history. And I noticed that special on Appleton coming up and I got my recorder set to hear it. I'm a chaplain in the Appleton area, and I had a patient who lived on River Street right across. He lived there for years in a small home there, and right across the river from the lower side of Lawrence College and where the paper mill is and where the railroad tracks came in. And she said that that was where the circus would come to town and unload all the animals down below there. And people would gather to watch the challenge of the circus people trying to get the elephants across the river. They had a pontoon-type platform that they were asked to go across and persuading them to do that. And it was local entertainment. And then the circus parade would continue down Oneida to the Big Top where the heritage elderly community is today and set up the tent and have the circus there. Anyway, I thought that was a pretty cool story.
Yeah, that is, Stuart. Thanks. Comment, Holly?
Yeah, you know, circus when circuses came into town back in the day, it was a big thing, and we saw a lot of archive of circuses in Appleton. So it is fun to hear that unique story about, you know, having traversed the river with those big animals.
Thank you again, Stuart. I appreciate it. Well, the river is plays such an important role in the in your documentary.
Oh, yes, for sure. It is all about the river. And when Appleton starts off, it's all about industry on the river. And that's the kind of the what I grew up knowing is Appleton and the river. It was all about industry. It was paper when I was growing up. And now when I started working on this project, I'm like, oh, I've been to Appleton. I know Appleton. I drove down by the river with a coworker, and we get down there and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I was seeing hotels. I was seeing restaurants on the river. The locks, the Fox Locks, are now operational and been restored, and people are on the river for recreation. So in the documentary, we kind of explore how that relationship changes from industrial to more in recreational lake or river now.
And wasn't it about the Civil War time, I think, that the paper industry in Appleton really took off?
Oh, yes, for sure. The Civil War impacted our country in a lot of ways. And one way is that communication was changing a lot at the time. And newspapers were becoming this more common, more daily, more were being printed. So there was a huge demand for paper. More communication was happening. More people were learning to write and send letters. They needed more paper. And Appleton was a great place for papermaking. And that they helped answer some of the call, the need for more newsprint and such.
Well, you know, you had everything right there. You had the power, you had the water, you had the trees.
Yes.
Because at that point, it went from, I think, using rags or whatever to using tree
exactly.
cellulose.
Yes. Wisconsin, that's the big thing that makes Wisconsin paper so big, is that change from using old rags, cotton rags, which was very labor intensive, very expensive, sourcing it, cleaning it, prepping it. And here, when the new technology came out to use paper pulp, you know, Wisconsin's the perfect place for paper, and that includes Appleton.
Yeah. Matt in Wonder Lake, Illinois, thank you for joining in. What's on your mind?
Hey, Larry, I just wanted to say I was browsing Wikipedia, my favorite actors, the other day, and I found out that Willem Dafoe was born and raised in Appleton, Wisconsin, and then studied drama in Milwaukee. But I just thought that was like, I thought maybe he was from the UK or something, but Appleton, Wisconsin. How about that?
Oh, Matt, thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, I'm sure you knew that as well, Ollie.
Oh, yes, yes. He's a great story about his connection with Appleton and his acting career. You know, he took his first drama lessons in Appleton. And he was recently, well, actually, you know what? I think it was a year and a half ago, he was on SNL, and he did a little skit about being from Appleton, Wisconsin. So that was really fun to watch, because at that time I was just starting to work on the show. And yeah, so that was a fun skit. You can Google it if you want to see it on YouTube.
And talking about seeing it, John in Fox Point emailed, can we stream this on our Passport app for Channel 10 in Milwaukee? Or how can we see this is what John and I'm sure a lot of other people want to know.
That's a great question. So the show is premiering on April 24th at 8 p.m. on PBS Wisconsin. If you're not in Wisconsin, or that gentleman said he was in Milwaukee, it's also going to be on our website. All our hometown stories series is available for free on our website. So after the 24th, it'll be on our website, on our YouTube channel, or if you have Passport, it will be on Passport too.
Okay. And of course, I think their tickets are already sold out for the showings that you're having a couple showings in Appleton too.
Yeah. We always, before the broadcast, we always bring the show to the community so they can see it, because they're the ones that made that show happen. And we are actually going to be there tomorrow, and we have two screenings, and they're completely sold out. So I'm excited for that event. I think people like you are going to learn a lot about their hometown or where they're living right now. That's what we want people to walk away from this, is thinking they've learned something or they understand the history of their city better.
And, you know, relating to that, I got an email from Mai, who wonders if there's a reference to Appleton being a sundown town, and you certainly deal with that. Some people may not know what a sundown town is.
Yeah, that's a great point. So a sundown community is a community that required people from different racial groups to be out of town before the sun went down. And that was often in Appleton largely pushed upon black people, were not allowed in town after sundown. There was a lot of this practice throughout Wisconsin, especially northeast Wisconsin, so Appleton is not the only community that was practicing this. And it really impacted, that tradition really impacted students when they started to show up, black students, when they started to be recruited by Lawrence University in the 60s and 70s. They were coming into a community that was all white, and they faced racism on and off campus, and some of them came together to protest on campus and demand better treatment.
And you, in fact, have an interview with one of the leaders of that, because that was it wasn't that long ago, frankly.
Yeah. We're talking the 60s and 70s. So we were able to interview two individuals that were there at slightly different times, but were highly involved with the protesting that was happening on campus and meeting with leadership on campus to make things better for the black students.
Yeah, it was I found that to be a really interesting a part of the entire story. Well, we'll take some calls again. You can join in, at 1-800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Celia in Madison next. Hi, Celia. Thanks for calling.
And thanks for your show, and thanks for the movie, or documentary. I'm a native of Madison, moved back after years in the East, and just to add a little more context, my recollection is that the Oneida tribe originally was in upstate New York and got moved west. And to put the college movement, it's what I call the deep northwestern college movement, which was happened all around the Midwest. So George Gale, a minister who was a leader of the Second Great Awakening, started in Galesburg, Illinois, Knox College, to start a college in the West. And so I think, you know, Lawrence, Ripon, the Ohio ones, which is part of a whole what I call the Western college movement. And George Gale was related to George Washington, because George Washington was named after his uncle, George Gale, who married Martha Washington.
Ah, there we go.
Yep, and that's right. The Oneida Nation was moved to Wisconsin from upstate New York. And when Lawrence teamed up with the Methodist Church to start Lawrence University, you know, Catholics had a heavy presence in the Green Bay area already because of the fur trade with the French coming through. So when the Oneidas came through, the Methodists were definitely looking at the Oneida Reservation as a place to educate Native American people on how they viewed was the proper way to live.
Mm-hmm. And Lawrence University, I do want to talk a little bit about the robust music program that they developed there, and then the community involvement in the facilities.
Yeah, you know, Lawrence's history is so interesting. Like you were saying, so many interesting things that have impacted that community. And it's now known for its amazing conservatory that's at that university. And it was really interesting to learn about that, because it has been around for a long time. But in fact, it almost got cut during the Great Depression. It went through a lot of struggles. And I would say in the last 50 to 60 years is when it's really, really, really become the conservatory that we know it today. And that just really impacts that community. I cannot believe the amount of free concerts, free performances that the Appleton community has access to. I know of students on campus who are amazing, most talented musicians I've seen. And they also are bringing people to campus, so you can see performances for free. So it's a great opportunity and has really impacted that community. There's now the Mile of Music, which I think is a great example of how the community has embraced and has a true love for music.
It's an amazing story. The other amazing story to me, and I'm looking for my notes, which of course I've misplaced here, but it had to do with power and electricity.
Yeah.
And there was a story. Tell the story of a sort of a chance going out fishing and so forth kind of thing that led to some big things.
Yeah. So one of the interesting things is you have this paper baron that comes to Appleton to get involved in the paper industry. And he goes on a fishing trip one day with his friend, who just happened to start a new job with the Edison Company. Thomas Edison's company, and his friend was telling him all about these new generators that were generating electricity, and this new bulb that Edison had that created that could burn for long periods of time, and
light
how
bulbs.
They were early light bulb technology, and Rogers got really excited. It was a fishing trip that he came home from, and he couldn't stop thinking about these power generators and the light bulb, and he convinced other businessmen in the Appleton area to invest in some. They were called a dynamo. It was a power generator. And they got two dynamos in Appleton, some of the very earliest ones. And Rogers had this great idea. He saw the power of the river and how he was utilizing it to make paper. Well, why don't you hook up one of those generators to the water?
Well, and then Edison had been using coal.
Yep. So Edison's was powered by steam that was generated by burning coal, and so Rogers hooks his up by with water, and it works. They get it running, and that's where you get some early hydroelectric history in Appleton. It's the first one to use the Edison Central System to light a home, to light businesses, and that home is still there today. That's the Hearthstone Historic Home Museum that you can still tour and see some really early electrical history.
Yeah, he put it in his own home because he was...
Yeah, he had it all wired for gas and everything. And he's like, hold the phone, let's put in some electrical wiring. And that's what they stuck with because, you know, compared to gas, it burned clean. It had consistent light. There was, of course, some interesting, you know, putting it together and learning how it ran. They had bare wires at the very beginning, which I think they quickly learned that was not a great thing. But it's really interesting to hear about that history. I had no idea that history was there, that early hydroelectric history, for sure.
That really appealed to me. I love that. And of course, the mills then, and, you know, people were able to use electricity, and that really led to a huge expansion in that area. With the papers, the paper industry there was great, but it also had its own problems because of pollution.
Yes. So that's one thing. When we look at Appleton's history, a big part of that story is the cleanup of the Fox River because of the PCB contaminants that happened with production of some paper. So we do touch a little bit about how that was really a turning point from the Fox River being an industrial river to more recreation. Because of that cleanup, people are now able to fish on the Fox River. People can go swimming if they choose. It's just, you know, people, the boating. It's just amazing seeing the kayakers out on that river. Again, somebody who grew up in that area, and the Fox River wasn't seen as a place for recreation. So that cleanup story was really important that we included.
Yeah. And the paper industry itself and Lawrence University, I want to go back to that a minute because there's another example where the Lawrence College saw the need and working with the locals developed their own major.
Yeah, it's such a great example of the city, the paper industry leaders, and the college coming together to see their, you know, paper at the time, the chemistry behind it, the uses behind it were developing much quicker, and they realized they needed an educated workforce in the paper industry. So that's where Lawrence got the Institute of Paper Chemistry, and it was a great place. It's awesome the things that they were able to develop and contribute to the growth of the paper industry and all over the world.
And speaking of Lawrence, Laura in Stoughton, I think, might be headed that way. Laura, hi.
Hi, Larry. I'm just delighted that you're having this program today. I'm getting all excited about my 50th college reunion at Lawrence in June. So I'll be headed up there and spending time with my class of 1973 classmates and enjoying the community as well.
Oh, that's great, Laura. Well, you've got to you have to see this documentary before you go. I swear. And again, Holly, how does Laura or anybody else see this again? Let's go back over.
Yeah, that. So on Monday, April 24th at 8 p.m., it'll air on PBS Wisconsin. And then after that, it's going to be free online for anybody to watch anywhere. So you can watch it through our website, Wisconsin Hometown Stories. If you just Google that, it'll take you to our website. Or it's also on our YouTube channel. And also on Passport. If you have a Passport, it's a great way to stream a lot of our content.
Yeah, I have Passport, so that'll be another way. I watched it on my computer. I'd love to watch it on my TV set.
You know, we have some really amazing camera work and drone footage and stuff, so I totally support watching it on TV so you can get the full experience.
Yeah. So what's next for you?
That's a great question. We're working on another episode of Wisconsin Hometown Stories, and the next town will be Beloit.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, and probably you'll come back and see us when it's...
Oh, yeah. Always happy to talk about it. Been working on it so long, so definitely want to get people to see the program that we put so much work into.
Holly, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
Holly DeReuter is a history producer for PBS Wisconsin and has produced this wonderful document. I've luckily had a chance to look at it already, and I really enjoyed it, and I know you will as well. Always fun to talk with her about what she's up to these days. Well, let's look ahead to the next day, coming up tomorrow on the Larry Mueller Show. Our home improvement expert, I think John Freiberger is the guy next time, and we'll be talking about planning your next home remodel, and we also want to take a look. I know he likes to look at what should we be doing and what should we be examining around our house at this time of the year, just to make sure that going into the later spring and the summer season, the home is in ship-shape condition. So we'll do that tomorrow. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.